I'm very happy to be here tonight. Is it just me or is it all of us? Amen. How beautiful to be in the house of the Lord. How beautiful to be in the house of the Lord. But you know what's even more beautiful? The fact that we are saved. And we are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Let's open the Bible at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 31 to 36, and then 69 to 75. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Skip to 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood up by came and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he became to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. A gentleman was in an airport waiting for his flight. And he decided to make one last stop at the restroom before his flight would depart. And while he was washing his hands, a lady enters in the bathroom. She looks at him, he looks at her, and she starts to profusely apologize in embarrassment for being in the wrong bathroom. He tried to calm her down, saying, "Ma'am, it's okay. Do not worry about it. It happens to me all of the time." And she left. He's drying his hands. He takes his luggage and he gets outside. But for some reason, he decided to take one last look in the back. And on the door, he sees a feminine figure with a word under "woman." He was the one in the wrong restroom. People make mistakes. I remember I grew up in Romania, and in 1991, I started going to school, first grade, and I had the same professors that were teaching in the communist system. And there was this mentality that if you make a mistake, you'll pay for it. If you're not going to do your homework for Monday, you'll get a bad grade. You're going to have to pay for your mistakes. But I came here, United States, and working here, going to school here, I understood that it's okay if you make a mistake as long as you learn from it, because everybody makes mistakes. And this is the title of my message tonight. Everybody makes mistakes. There's different type of mistakes that we make. Maybe an innocent relationship that developed into an affair. Maybe a financial decision that you took that ruined your life. Perhaps a career opportunity that you squandered because of pure laziness. Maybe the decision to leave a relationship in which you should have stayed, or stay in a relationship that you should have ended. Because when we make those type of mistakes, we come and say, "God, am I ever going to be forgiven for my mistake? And if so, God, am I going to have to live with the consequences of my mistakes for the rest of my life? God, if you are sovereign, then was this mistake part of your great plan for me and for my life? And if so, God, am I ever going to recover from this mistake that I have committed?" Well, tonight, I have a bad news and a good news for you. The bad news is that you can't rewrite history. You cannot go back in time. Life doesn't have a rewind button. Have you discovered that? But the good news is that God is in control of our life. God is in control of our future. God is in control of our destinies, and He can make our biggest mistakes become stepping stones for a greater success. Amen. God has the ability to make our worst mistakes become stepping stones for a greater success. Praised be His name. And tonight, we're going to look at three truths about mistakes. Three truths about mistakes. First of all, mistakes are inevitable. Mistakes are inevitable. Look here what the Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 34. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Just a few mistakes that people have done throughout the history. In 1980s, a genius came with a new idea of a new Coke that was a failure. Or the house production that denied the new single for one of the biggest bands in the 60s by the name of Beatles. Or the fact that most of the movie studios at Hollywood unanimously denied a new script for a new box office flop that proved to be Star Wars later. Or maybe the guy that with his vote in 1923 elected Hitler as the leader of the Nazi party. And because of that vote too, millions and millions of Jews were condemned to death. You see, mistakes are different. And I'm just going to mention here three types of mistakes. Slip-ups, mess-ups, and screw-ups. Now, slip-ups are small mistakes that we all commit that have few consequences on our lives. A few years ago, I was here in this church preaching. And I don't know if you guys realize, but when you preach, or you guys don't know probably this, but when you preach, you can see everything that happens in the church. If someone's texting or talking on the last row, on the last bench, you can see that. And I remember while I was preaching, I saw some people on the left side in the corner laughing. And you know, I was preaching with passion, and you know, I was kind of like thinking, you know, deep in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm wondering, why do they laugh? You know, do they laugh at me or they laugh with me? But I didn't really say anything funny, so I'm kind of like wondering, they laugh at something that I said or maybe something else? I don't know. I get home and I talk to my wife, and my wife is my best critic, especially when it's English, because English, as you guys most know, it's not my first language. And I tell her, I'm like, these fellas there in the back, they were laughing the whole time I was preaching, and you know, I don't really think I said anything funny to make them laugh, but I'm wondering if they were laughing at me or something else that I said. And she looks at me and she says, "Babe, I'm pretty sure they laugh at you." And I'm like, "Really? Why is that?" She says, "Because I don't know how many times tonight in your sermon you said the word advices. It's not advices, babe. It's advice for plural." Grammar. A small mistake that I have committed, you know. It's not going to have a lot of consequences on me and on my life unless you guys go back and watch that sermon, but I'm not going to give you the title. So if you really want to catch me, you'll have to go back and watch the whole archive of the church. But again, slip-ups. Small mistakes that we all commit, they're going to have small consequences on our lives and our future. Now, the second category of mistakes is called mess-ups. Now, those are bigger mistakes. They will carry some consequences on our lives, but not tremendous consequences. A couple came to a pastor one time and said, "Pastor, we have a problem." "What is it?" And they said, "Look, we were thinking about purchasing a new home, and we were driving this neighborhood, and we saw this house, and we were with a real estate agent, and we said, we like this house. We were thinking about putting up an offer." And the real estate agent said, "Oh, yeah, you should rush. The market is hot. You should come up with an offer right now." And we said, "Well, that's a good idea, but I think it would be wiser if we would sell our home first, right, and then buy this house." And the real estate agent said, no, the market is hot. You should really come up with an offer right now. Don't worry about your other house. You're going to get to sell it. The market is good. Just buy it, if not, you're going to lose this house." So, long story short, Pastor, we end up purchasing this house, and after 6 months, we're the proud homeowners of two houses and two mortgages. And they said, "Pastor, why did God allow such a thing to happen to us?" Isn't it funny how we blame God for every mistake that happened to us? But the pastor said, "You know, that happened to you because you disobeyed God's rule in James 4 that says that we shouldn't presume on the future. James 4:15 says, but instead we shall say, with God's will, we shall live and do this or do that. Now, after a couple months, this couple got to sell one of their houses and things got back to normal. Mess ups, right? Mistakes that we all make, they will carry some sort of consequences on our lives, but not tremendous consequences. But the third category is called screw-ups. Now, those are huge mistakes. And when we commit those mistakes will carry long, sometimes eternal consequences on our life. On a brief business trip, Jerry met Helen. And I bet from this point on, you can write the story. Their one-night affair became a three-year relationship, and things would have continued if his wife wouldn't have found out a motel receipt in his front pocket. He admitted on the spot the affair. He asked her for forgiveness. He asked God for forgiveness. But he said things were never the same from that point. He said, every time I would make a mistake, my wife would always bring that against me. Not only that, but our intimate life was sporadic, and I felt like between me and God there was a barrier. You know, I'm looking at you tonight. Maybe your mistake doesn't have to do with immorality. Maybe it was the decision to come into the United States of America thinking that you're going to have a better future for you and for your kids. The only problem is that you lost your kids here because they don't come to church anymore. Or maybe it's the fact that you ignored the signs of your body to go to the doctor. And finally, one day, you went to the doctor and the doctor said, it's a little too late now. You should have came away earlier. Now it's cancer. Now it's diabetes. De acum acolo trebuie să trăiești toată viața, să iei în fiecare zi un pumn de medicamente, că n-ai venit la timp. When I think about mistakes, I think about Peter. You know, his name is The Rock. And still, he was just shifting a sand when Jesus told him to come on the water because of his lack of faith. Or how naive he was not believing that God can save Gentiles. Or how impulsive he was when he caught that high priest servant ear. But one of the moments that he's going to remember the most was the moment when he denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed that morning. And still, according to 1 Corinthians 15:5, the Bible says that after 3 days, when Jesus resurrected, the first person that he came to see was Kepha, was Peter. Not his beloved one, not John, not his mom, but Peter. This was a way of saying, I forgave you, Peter. In spite of your lack of faith, Peter, I forgave you. When God showed himself in that fire burning bush to Moses, you know, he didn't say, Moses, I remember your criminal assault. I remember how you killed that Egyptian. No. He says, Moses, I see a leader in you, Moses. I'm not looking at your crime, but I'm looking at your future. But I can't talk, God. I have speech problems. I'm just a shepherd. You're not just a shepherd, but you're a leader. Aaron is going to be here. He's going to be there with you. God is looking at you, my brother and my sister, tonight. He's not looking at your past. He's not looking at your mistake. He's not looking at your inability. He's not looking at your lack of faith. He's not looking at your I can't. But he's looking at your potential tonight. He's looking at your future tonight. Because he sees a preacher in you. Because he sees a singer in you. Because he sees a prophet in you. Because he sees a man and a woman of God. He sees potential in you because he died for you. God is not looking at your mistake. He's looking at your potential, amen. You know, mistakes are not just the things that we do. Mistakes are the things that we don't do. Maybe you said, well, you know, I'm still young now. I'm not going to save money, you know. I'm going to worry about it later on. But time flies. You're 60 years old and your 401k is empty. Maybe you said, you know what, I don't have time right now to spend with my kids. They're little. I have to make money. I have to spend for their college. One day we'll spend time, kids. One day we'll go hunting. Sure enough, they're 16, 17 years old. Now you have time to spend with them, but they don't have any time or any interest to spend time with you. Or maybe you said, honey, one day I'll take you on a vacation. One day it's going to be just me and you. One day, honey, we'll spend time together. But that one day is supplanted by the terrible moment when your mate is taken away from you. Because mistakes, brothers and sisters, young fellas, ladies and gentlemen, are not just the things that we do, but the things that we don't do. You know, motivational speaker Les Brown said some words that I found to be so, so rich. And I wrote them down here. He said the following words. The richest ground on planet Earth is not found in the diamond fields of South Africa or in the oil fields of Texas. The richest ground on Earth is the cemetery. For in the cemetery, we find bodies containing speeches that were never given. Books that were never written, songs that were never sang, and dreams that were never fulfilled. How true is that? How true is that? I don't know how many of you guys saw that movie, watched that movie Click with Adam Sandler. It's about a guy that has this remote and he's clicking it and he's able to go back in time. But what proves to be a great thing ruins his life later on. And I remember this scene. He's in his office and he's all that comes in his small break to just spend a minute with his son. And Adam Sandler, I remember he's in his office there and he's so mad and he's like, what are you doing here, old man? I mean, don't you see I have so many things on my head and I'm busy and I have clients and just leave. I don't have time for you. And his dad just turns around without saying absolutely no word and he just leaves. Less did he know that the next day his dad died. And I remember in the movie, he takes that click button desperate to go back to that moment when he said all these words to his dad. And he goes back to this scene and he starts crying and he starts apologizing and he starts hugging his dad. But it's just virtual. The moment is frozen. His dad is not there anymore. The reality, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is that we cannot go back in time. We can't rewrite history. We can't erase the things that we said. We can't heal the hearts that we broke. We can't kiss the cheeks that we spit at. Mistakes are inevitable. It's a reality. But I have a good news for you tonight. Mistakes are forgivable. Amen. Mistakes are forgivable. And that's the second point of my message. Mistakes are forgivable. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget all his benefits. He who forgives all iniquities, he who heals all your diseases. You know, last week I have this class at school, Old Testament exegesis, and I was talking to one of my classmates, a pastor, Edward, and he says, Abel, I'm trying to picture this image, being in the Babylonian captivity as a Jew. Remember, in the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were singing Psalm 137, right? It's a lamentation that starts by saying, oh, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept, remembering Zion. And he says, you know, if I would have been in that captivity, you know, and I would have to tell my kids all about Jerusalem and Zion and how amazing the temple was, and my kids would ask me, but dad, then why are we in this Babylonian captivity? What would I tell them? And I said, it's very simple. The reason was sin. Sin. That's the reason why we slip up, mess up, and screw up. It's sin. Because of not keeping the Deuteronomy covenant, right? The first covenant between the Mosaic covenant between God and Israel. It says very clearly in Deuteronomy, if you will obey, you will be blessed. But if you disobey, you will be cursed. Now, the reality is that sin means disobeying God's commandment. But sin is more than that. The word sin comes from the Greek word amartia, which means missing the mark. It's like missing the bullseye, right? God's missing the bullseye 100% or most of the times. Paul says in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. In other words, what Paul says there is we all have missing the mark. We miss the mark. God's mark for our church, God's mark for our families, God's mark for our finances, God's mark for our kids, God's mark for our school, God's mark for our present and future and past. We miss the mark. We are missing the mark. Now, the Bible says that sin came in the humanity, in the world, in Genesis, right, through Adam and Eve and what they did in the garden. Now, some people would come and say, well, that's kind of not fair. It's not fair. They would say, God's not fair. Why do I have to be born in a sinful world? Why do I have to inherit this immortal body without even being conscious, without even having the possibility to commit a sin? This is not fair. Well, it might not look fair to you, but I'll give you an illustration that might give you a better perspective. For about 8.5 years in the United States, I worked construction. I was in the construction business. And I was working through insurance companies. What would happen is, people would have a fire damage, a water damage, right? Mold in their house, and we would go and fix their houses. And, most of the times, the insurance company would pay for the remodeling, right? They would pay for the rent sometimes, or a motel for the family for a week, month, sometimes a year. And they would pay for their mortgage as well. Now, those people could have said, well, you know what? I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move from my house. I'm not the one that created this mold. I'm not the one that brought the fire in my house. I'm not going to move out of my house. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to support the consequences and take my risks. Or they could have said, thank you very much. Thank you to the insurance company that you are ready to take me out of my house, remodel my house, giving me a new home, pay for my mortgage, and pay for my rent for 1 year. Thank you so much. I think I will take up on your offer. Now, in a real sense, that's kind of the same thing with God. You can say, well, it's not fair. Well, it might not look fair to you, but that's a fact. You know what, God? I'm just going to live in this condition called mold, called sin. I'm not going to repent. No me poques. I'm going to stay in this condition, and I'm going to take my risk. Whatever's going to happen to anybody is going to happen to me as well. But you know what that means? That means physical and spiritual death. Or you can say, God, thank you so much. Thank you for wiping all my sins. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Not only that, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to spend eternity with you. Thank you so much, God. I think I will take up on your offer. You know, it might not seem fair for us, the fact that we have to inherit this Adamic sin. But I will tell you something else. How fair was for Jesus to come, for the Son of God, to come and die for the whole humanity? You know what's the difference between the insurance company and God? The insurance company would pay for your house, pay for your remodeling, pay for your mortgage and your hotel because of one reason. They have an obligation. It's a contractual obligation. You pay for that every month or every year. But God has no obligation. You know why He did it? You know why He saved you? Because of one reason. It's grace. It's grace. I love this definition of grace. Grace, it's God's undeserved burst of generosity for us. Grace is God's undeserved generosity for us. Max Lucado said some words, and I'm just going to quote him right now. He said, there's many reasons why God saved you. To bring glory to Himself, to appease justice, to show that He's sovereign and in control of the whole world. But one of the sweetest reasons why He saved you is because He's fond of you. If He would have a fridge, your photo, your picture would be on it. If you would have a wallet, your photo would be in it. He would send you flowers every spring and sunrise every morning. He likes to be around you. He can choose to and pick to live in any place of this universe. And still, He chose your heart. Face it, friend. He's crazy about you. He's crazy about you, Emmanuel. God loves you. This is grace. This is grace. It's God's undeserved burst of generosity for us. Amen. Mistakes are inevitable. Mistakes are forgivable, and that should be enough. But there's a third reason and a last reason. Mistakes are redeemable. Mistakes are redeemable. You know, The Bible says in Galatians 1, 13, 14, the following words. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. You know, if your affair would cost you your marriage, but you'd know that one day, you will be saved. Wouldn't you thank God for that? If your poor financial decision that you had would mean life in poverty, but you know that one day you will walk on streets of gold, wouldn't that be a good deal? If the crime that you committed would mean life in jail, but you know that one day you'll spend eternity with Him, wouldn't you thank God for that? Brothers and sisters, God has the ability to use our biggest mistakes, our worst mistakes, and make them stepping stone for a greater success in a way that we can understand, in a way that we can comprehend, in a way that we can explain, in a way that doesn't make absolutely no sense for us. It's kind of hard for you to believe that, isn't it? I'll give you some examples. Abraham. At some point in his life, he was an idol worshiper. He had sex with his handmaid, Agar. He left his own wife in the hands of another man for one night just to save his own skin. Hardly the title of the husband of the year material, right? And still, the Bible calls him a friend of God. Or maybe Moses, a man that was a criminal, and still God chose him to save his people. Or how about Noah? We like Noah. We like to talk about Noah. But Noah one day humiliated himself and got naked and got drunk in front of his kids. And still the Bible said that Noah found grace. Or how about Rahab? The most notorious prostitute of her own time. And still, through her, God saved his people. Not only that, but she is listed today as one of Jesus Christ's ancestors. Or maybe Paul, a blasphemer, a man that was persecuting and sending Christians to death. And still, he is the greatest apologist and the greatest missionary of all time. Because God can use our biggest mistakes and He can make them become pillar stones for a greater success. I want to invite the worship to come here. I want you to do something tonight. I want you all to take your right hand up, please, and put it on your chest. Do you feel something? Hopefully you do. Hopefully you hear a heartbeat. You know what that heartbeat means? That heartbeat means that you're alive. That heartbeat means that God didn't strike you and me dead the first time I committed a sin. That heartbeat, that means that God that didn't strike you and me dead as He did with Ananias and Sapphira. You know what that heartbeat means? That heartbeat means grace. God's undeserved burst of generosity for us. 2 years ago, I was in Romania. I was visiting my family. I was going for Christmas and New Year's, and it was supposed to be a great time with your family. It wasn't that great because between Christmas and New Year's, we lost our grandpa. A great thing was that a day before he died, I got to see him, hug him, and tell him how much I love him. I'm never going to forget his face. Before I die, I want to have that face. I want to have that peace in my heart. At that funeral, one of my uncles was there present. 3 months later, he had some medical tests. He came home and he said to his wife, my aunt, she said, I am as healthy as a 20-year-old. All the tests are great. He was in his 60s, a very healthy person. One Thursday evening, they had a dinner. And he said, I don't really feel Mary. And she said, maybe it's the food, but they ate something light. And he said, can you make me a tea? And she said, yes, I'll make you a tea. She made a tea for him. And He said, it didn't go away. Honey, can you make me another tea? Sure. She made another tea. He took a sip. He took another sip. And he was gone. Last summer when I was visiting my family, my aunt looked at me and said, Abel, I never knew. And I couldn't explain it. How fast a human being can be out of this world in a matter of seconds. In a matter of seconds. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with you and me tomorrow. I don't want to scare anybody. Do you want to revive, as we were talking here earlier? Do you want to feel the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Emmanuel, that I want to invite you to do something tonight. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. The Bible says here in the last verse that I read, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. There's three things that I see here at Peter. A man that messed up big time, but a man that found grace. It was remembering, it was going out and weeping. Tonight, Emmanuel, I want you and me to remember the sin that I have and we have committed. I want to weep at that sin. I want to ask for forgiveness. But not only that, I want to come here in front. Are you going to join me here tonight? And to say, God, tonight I lay down my life in front of you. I am the first one to be here. Not because I want to set up any kind of example, but because I am the biggest sinner here and I need Jesus in my life. If you think you're perfect, if you think that you don't need anything, if you think that your life is great with God, just stay there. You don't have to come. But if you think that you need Jesus tonight, if you think that you need Him in your life, if you want to leave this place different tonight, I want to invite you to come here and pray with me. I want you to invite you here and join me tonight here. You know, a lot of times we have these altar calls that we make and, you know, we come here and we come with our sins and our issues and our problems. And you know what's my feeling, Emmanuel? You know what's my feeling? My feeling is that a lot of times we come here with our baggage of trash. And it feels like Jesus would walk right here with some sort of a garbage trash, with some sort of a garbage disposal, and He would just collect our trash. But it's not like that. I want to tell you something tonight. God wants to forgive you, but my mentality has to be, or your mentality needs to be tonight, God, take my mistake and make it a pillar stone for a greater success, God. Take my mistake and make it a pillar stone or stepping stone for a greater success, the way you did it with Abraham, the way you did it with Noah, the way you did it with Paul, the way we did it with Rahab. God, take this mistake and change it into gold, God. Because God can take our biggest mistakes and make them stepstones for a greater success. Wouldn't you want to live different here tonight? Wouldn't you want to live with that peace? Not to be just the same person, not to just do the same things, not to just think, oh, I'm going to fail again. Oh, I'm going to mess up again. Oh, you know what? It's going to happen again. You know what? It doesn't have to happen again. We're not perfect. I know that. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you act different. You walk different. You talk different. You live different because He is working in your life, my brother and my sister. So let's all pray. The people that are here, you guys in the benches, let's all pray and know that God is in control of our life. God is in control of our future. The fact that mistakes are inevitable, they're going to happen, but they are forgivable. God will forgive us. And not only that, but He will redeem us. Amen. Let's all pray.